22. You ever hear read Genesis 22? It really is an amazing story. And it pictures so many things, symbolizes so many things. It's a shadow of so many things. Look with me in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, and keep your Bible open, because we're going to be looking at several verses. And there's some things I want to kind of point out to you in these verses this morning. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This portion of scripture in Genesis chapter 22, according to Jewish tradition, is known as Akedah. Akedah is a Hebrew word that means the binding of Isaac. This morning we're going to talk about faith. Reuben had some songs this morning that deals with faith. We talked a little bit about faith. We talked about Abraham a few weeks ago in our study of Genesis, where God told him to move from one place to another place, didn't tell him where to move. He just said, you go and I'll tell you when you get there. And by faith, Abraham did that. Now, that don't make sense to me. Probably don't make sense to you. God would ask somebody to do something and then not even tell them where they was going. But when he got to the place, God met him there. By faith, Abraham did that. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was told that you're going to have this baby. And of course, years went by and decades went by. And lo and behold, you have to have faith. And then today, we're going to see another story of faith here in Scripture. God just wants you and I to have faith. And so there's lots of verses, lots of scriptures, lots of stories in the Bible about faith. And so we're going to see an amazing story of faith this morning as we come to Genesis chapter 22. First thing I'm going to talk about, it's in your bulletin if you want to follow along, is the test of faith. In verse 1, it says, God did tempt Abraham. Now, time out just a minute as we kind of deal with that verse and that one word in there, that word tempt. You see, James 1:13, the New Testament records that God never tempts man, any man. So the New Testament, it seems like it's a contradiction. The Old Testament says that God tempted Abraham, but yet in the New Testament, it says God tempts no man. And so sometimes you got to look at Scripture and you got to drill down and you got to kind of dissect it and you got to try to find out exactly what the word, how it's written, how it was translated, and how it means. And it has to coincide with the rest of Scripture because it's all God's word and there's no contradictions. And so God did tempt Abraham, verse 1, Genesis 22. James 1:13 records that God never tempts any man. But God does test, not tempt, but test men. God does test women. God does test young people. So he tests us, but he don't tempt us. And so a better word translated there would be God tested, did test Abraham. Abraham is our great example of faith in the early portions of the Bible. As a matter of fact, he's called the father of the faithful. And the longer we're saved and the more we exercise our faith, the stronger our faith gets. And the stronger our faith grows, which benefits you and I on this earth while we live here. So we are to grow and mature spiritually, and God's way of us growing spiritually and maturing spiritually, we might not like it, but God's way of us growing to be spiritual strong men and women and young people of faith is by going through tests, going through trials, going through turmoil, because those things simply make us reach out to God in faith, trusting God that it's going to work out for our good. And so I wanted to give that kind of that principle out of the way so that we can see as we go through the story about how God tests Abraham's faith. Now, it's been said that a faith which can't be tested can't be trusted. And we've heard that before. But God is getting ready to give Abraham the greatest test of his life as we open up chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, the test of faith. Now let me share the difference between temptation and testing. Let me share the difference. You see, the devil is the one that tempts. God tests. But the devil tempts us in order to bring out the worst in us. He'll tempt you with something that you'll fall for. He'll tempt me with something that I might fall for. He'll tempt me with something that you might not bother you. He might tempt you with something that wouldn't bother me. But the bottom line is, he knows our appetites. He knows what we crave. He knows some of our desires. And so he will tempt us for the purpose of getting us off track. The devil will tempt us for the purpose of bringing out the worst in us. But the Lord will never tempt us. The Lord will test us in order to bring out the best in us. Get the difference? The devil will tempt us to bring out the worst. The Lord will test us to bring out the best. That's the difference between testing and tempting in Scripture. The Bible says it came to pass, verse 1, after those things. What is referring to there is that the promised son that's been promised to Abraham and Sarah, the promised son Isaac, had been born. And so it starts off, it came to pass after these things. And so the baby, the boy's here, he's been born, God fulfilled his promise, and now Abraham's the dad, Sarah's the mother. And so that's what it's talking about. It came to pass after these things, and Abraham is beside himself. He wanted this boy, he wanted this baby, he wanted this promised seed that God had promised him. And now Abraham is beside himself to be an older man having a child by God's miraculous work, his mysterious work. Because all of his hopes and all of his dreams, all of his aspirations were wrapped up in that promised son by the name of Isaac. He lived for Isaac. He got up for Isaac. He worked for Isaac. Hey, if you're a father, hey, if you're a grandfather, if you're a mother, a grandmother, you're a parent today, we understand that, man, children change our lives. They change our priorities. They change our principles. And that's exactly what we see here. He lived to be the father of Isaac, and wanted the best for his boy, like you want the best for your children, and I want the best for my children. So we can relate to the story to this point. And it came to pass after these things. So now Abraham's a father. He's got a young boy. And then look what God says to him. Don't miss it. Look at verse 2. You almost have to read this to make sure that what it's saying says what it says. And so he's got this promised boy that is his life. And God said to Abraham, take that son. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. This is pretty amazing. He's saying, hey, that boy you love, that boy that you get up for, that boy that you think about, that boy that's on your mind from time you get up, time you go to bed, that boy that I have given you, take that boy, his name's Isaac, whom you love us, and you take him to a place where you can offer him as a burnt offering. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that he gets his message from God. And I would think that you would think the same thing, that all of a sudden his whole world has crashed. All this time he's been promised this boy. All this time God said, you're going to get this boy. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you some offspring. I'm going to give you a seed that will be a great for the nation. And lo and behold, he gets this message and his world is turned upside down. His world has crashed. He's no doubt probably a little bit numb. The bottom of his family seemingly has fell out. It's the test of faith that God puts Abraham through so that we can learn that God uses testings in our life so we can grow, mature, and spiritually and strong. Now, as parents, we fully understand very few things get closer to us than our children. We have children, lo and behold, like I said, everything seems to change. Now think about verse 2 for just a minute there in Genesis 22. God says, Abraham, I want you to take the dearest thing in your life. I want you to take that dearest thing, which just happened to be your son Isaac, your only son, the son that you love, the son that was promised, and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Now here's a teachable moment. Ready? Here it goes. Because somebody's probably thinking, like, why would God do that, Brother Don? Pastor, why would God do that? Well, hey, here's a teachable moment. Let me get there. Why would God ask Abraham to do something that, like, don't make sense? All around Beersheba, where Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac lived, all around the area they lived were heathen people who worshipped false gods. Mainly they worshipped the false god of the Moabites, a god by the name of Molech. Molech demanded his followers, don't miss it, Molech demanded his followers to prove how much they love their god, Molech, and you can do that by sacrificing your children to Molech. In the city square there was a Buddha-like statue. It was made out of cast iron. It was hollow. And in the back, they would just feed it wood, and they put wood in there and catch it on fire. And then they'd light it for days. And the Buddha-like statue that was made out of iron would turn white hot. And that Molech doll, that fake god there, that god that was they worshipped, and Molech had open hands like this, it was white iron, hot, white hot iron that for days had been burning, and they would have his followers come at certain times, and you love Molech, you worship Molech, you offer your child, your children, you offer them as a offering to your God on how much you love me. And they would get those babies, and they'd get those children, and they'd get their boys and their young girl infants, and they would hurl them into the arms of a false god by the name of Molech. All over Beersheba, the heathen people did that very thing. Down in Egypt, there was lost pagan people. And those people didn't worship Molech. They had their own god. They worshiped the god of the Nile River, whose name was Hopi. H-O-P-I. Hopi was the god of the Nile River. The Nile River was the artery that allowed them to flourish. It allowed goods to be come down through the streams. It allowed them to have water. It allowed them to have food. It allowed them to clean themselves and bathe themselves and wash themselves. The Nile River was the most important thing in the land of Egypt. It allowed them to flourish in crops. It allowed them to feed their families. It allowed them to move products from one place to another and make a livelihood. The Nile River was it. They had a god named Hopi. And Hopi, like Molech, Hopi demanded that the followers of Hopi, that they sacrifice human sacrifices in the form of their children. And so they would come to the Nile River because the Nile River was their god. And they would take those babies, and they'd take their sons and daughters, and they would take them to the ledge, to the edge of that Nile River, and they would cast and drop them babies all in those deep waters, those crocodile-infested waters, they would drop those babies, those children that meant something to them, to show their allegiance and appease their God by simply offering a sacrifice in the human sacrifice form of a son or a daughter or a child. That's what the God of Popeye, the God of Moloch, simply required. The question is, why would God ask Abraham to do such a thing that's so wrong? Well, maybe so the heathen population would know that they love, that Abraham's in the world, they love and they follow and they accept Jehovah God so much that they're willing to simply offer as much as the heathens do. Now remember, this is just a test. So God tests Abraham. Take thy son Isaac, offer him as a burnt offering, offer him as a sacrifice. Look at verse 3, don't miss it. Verse 3, chapter 42. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now think about that. He just got the news of devastation, the news of doom, the news of death of his very own offspring, Isaac. And look what Abraham does. Verse 3. He rose up early in the morning. No doubt his mind must be racing a million miles an hour on the news that God gave him. Abraham's on his way to do the will of God. He don't understand it. That's what faith is. He don't understand it. He's going to do the will of God. He's going to trust God to do what he can't understand. He's going to do what, he's going to follow God's will when he can't get his arms around it. He can't figure it out. He has no explanation for it. He's scratching his head. He rose early in the morning. Like, hey, I got to get this done. By the way, have you ever been there? You ever been there in your life where God wanted you to do something? You knew he wanted you to do it, and you just couldn't like think that was the right thing to do? Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't have 100% understanding of why God was seemingly putting something on your heart to do something that would just uproot your whole family, your whole life? You ever been in a situation where you heard someone sing a song, you heard someone preach a message, you heard someone teach a lesson, and God pricked your heart, and you thought, man, I could do that. I should do that. God's calling me to do that. And you had a heavy heart, but you never went that way. You never went that direction. You gave all kinds of reasons why you couldn't do it. You questioned God. Here, no question. Here, maybe a heavy heart. But you see, he rises early in the morning thinking like, I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm just going to trust the God of heaven. I'm going to trust him by faith. See, when one follows God and does God's will, when they don't really fully have all the answers, they're faith becomes strong and smart going forward. They learn, they grow, they mature. That's the test of faith. The second thing I want to see this morning is the tenderness of faith. Look at verse 5. The tenderness of faith. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ape, with the donkey. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Oh, hold it, don't miss it. And come again to thee. Abraham got up early in the morning. He's loaded everything up for a sacrifice, for a burnt offering. He's loaded up. He's got his entourage. He's got his servants there. He's got his son there. And Abraham's servants, they all come to a place. And Abraham looks at his servants. And he says, hey, you fellas stay here. Me and the lad's going alone. He said, we're going to go to the mountain. Now remember, God says, you take Isaac and you offer him as a sacrifice. He interprets that like me and the lad's going up there to worship. Now, I don't know where you get worship out of offering your son as a sacrifice, but Abraham has had more faith than I do. And Abraham simply said, me and the lad's going up there to worship God. But then he says, we, me and the lad, are going to worship God. We're going to come back and we'll meet you here again. Now that's faith. That's faith. That's what God's trying to teach us. Through this lesson this morning, he's trying to teach us faith. He says, man, we're going to worship. What Abraham's doing is he's exercising faith, tenderness of faith. Here's what the Bible says the definition of faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. He's never been there. He's never done this. This is a new one for him. Hey, he's an old man. He's done a lot of stuff in his life, but this is a new thing. He has never done what God's just asked him to do, but by faith, the substance of things hoped for. Man, I hope that we're coming back. I believe that we're coming back. God said, I got to sacrifice him as a burnt sacrifice. And if I do that, then he's going to be dead. I don't know if God's going to let me kill him and raise him from the dead. I don't know if God's going to do something else. I don't know if God's going to change his mind. All I know is that by faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, what he knew prior to God telling him to go and sacrifice his boy, he knew that back in Genesis 15, that God promised him that son Isaac, and that son Isaac would simply have a whole nation to himself. You see, what he knew prior to this message is back in Genesis 18, for the second or third time, God reminded Abraham, I'm giving you a son. You might not know it. It might not be your timetable. Might not be when you think you should do it, but I'm promising you that son. I'm giving you a son. I'm gonna have to give you an offspring. And then the nation Israel is going to be his. And then I'm just telling you, so he already knows it now. And so in chapters 15, God promised him. In chapter 18, he re-promises him. And then in chapter 21, before 22, God gave him his son. And then it came to pass, and so a few years have passed now. There they are, and so he knows that God is a promise keeper. And so he said, hey, you fellas stay here. Me and the son, me and the lad have some business to do up here. We're going to worship God, and then we will return. That is faith 101. That is a test of faith. That's the tenderness of faith. Abraham thinking, I don't fully understand it. I'll just admit it. I don't know what might happen. I'll admit it. But here's the one thing I know. Don't miss it. God is able. Here's the one thing I know is God's a promise keeper. Here's the one thing I know. Hey, God keeps his word. God keeps his covenant. God keeps his promises. And so me and my boy, we're going to go worship. That's what we're going to call it. We're going to go worship. And we'll meet you guys together later. The tenderness of faith. Josephus, the great Bible historian, he estimates that at this time in Genesis 22, that Isaac is 25 years old. Now, I tell you that because notice verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So, fellas, y'all stay here. Servants, y'all stay here. Me and the boys went up here to worship, and I'm going to need some things to worship with. So let me get some fire. Let me get some wood. Let me get a knife. Now, the father had Isaac when he's 100. So, according to Josephus, Abraham's 125 years old. According to Josephus, Isaac is 25 years old. Isaac's no toddler. Isaac's no young man, even though he's 25. He has had experiences with animal sacrifices because that's what they did. So he understands sacrificing animals at 25. And Father Abraham, just as a matter, he knew just in a matter of time that that boy who has experience with sacrificing is going to pop the question. He's going to ask me the question. And he asked the question in verse 7. Look at it. Verse 7.
And Isaac spoke to his dad, Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb?" He's 25 years old. He's looking around and going like, "We got the fire. We got the wood for the altar. We got the knife to kill the sacrifice. Where's the lamb?" Isaac asked, "Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Don't miss it. Here we go. This is the first time the word lamb is used in Scripture. The first time. That question is the theme of the Old Testament. All through the Old Testament, they were looking for a lamb. Every sacrifice, they used a lamb. Every holy of holy offering, they used a lamb. Every day of atonement, they used a lamb. Every household in bondage, offering the lamb's blood on the doorpost. But all those lambs was not the lamb. Oh, they were lambs. They were pictures. They were analogies. They were substitutes. But none of them was a lamb. But Isaac says, "Dad, we got the wood and we got the fire. You've got a knife. Where's the lamb?" First time the lamb mentioned in the Old Testament is right here. The first time the word lamb is mentioned in the New Testament is found in the Gospel of John. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." John saw Jesus, and that's the Lamb. That's the Lamb that Isaac was thinking about. The Lamb. Where's the Lamb? Because the Lamb was the Lamb that would come one day, that would come and would be the ultimate, final, efficient sacrifice for the sin of the world. The rest of them just gave you an atonement. It just simply cleared you for a year until the next atonement, until the main Lamb simply went to a cross. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Church family, Isaac asked, "Where's the Lamb?" Abraham answered, "God will provide Himself a Lamb." John in the Gospel of the New Testament, John's Gospel, he's looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb." One of them's asking where it is, and the other one's saying, "God's going to provide it." And John said, "This is what He's provided, the Lamb of God, Jesus." So we have the test of faith. We have the tenderness of faith. The Father just trusting God on something he don't know about, what he don't know around the corner, what he don't know what's up on the mountain. He has tenderness just to believe God for things hoped for. And then we have the triumph of faith. Look at verse 9 and 10. We've got to hurry to verse 9 and 10. "And they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the wood." I mean, he's going through with it. But look at verse 10. You got to love verse 10. Thank the Lord for verse 10. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Abraham follows through. Everything that's done is told. He binds up his boy. He lays him on the altar. It just happens to be the most precious, priceless possession that he has on the altar. And Abraham lifts the knife to kill his boy. To follow God's will and God's word. When verse 12, look what it says. Or verse 11, "The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham." Verse 12, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. I wasn't there, but I'm sure Abraham's jumping for joy. I'm sure heaven, the angels in heaven, man, I'm sure they're shouting and praising God that he didn't have to kill his boy. I'm sure Isaac's glad that the angel said something so he wouldn't be the sacrifice. Abraham laid all he had on the altar. A test, a trial, a tribulation of his faith. And by following God's will in his life, he had a faith of triumph. Verse 13 gets better. When Abraham lifted up his eyes, he looked and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went, he took the ram and offered the ram up for the burnt offering instead of his son. The Bible don't say it. Here's what happened. You ready? In faith, Father Abraham is taking his son up for a burnt offering. They got the wood, they got the knife, they got the fire. Whether Isaac knows it or not, they have to sacrifice. It's going to be Isaac. Scripture don't tell you, but let me just tell you what Scripture don't tell you. Father Abraham and his son are carrying the supplies needed to prepare the sacrifice properly. What they didn't know is that they came up one side of the mountain. God was carrying another sacrifice in the form of a ram. As Abraham and Isaac going up this side, God was going up this side with that ram, that sacrifice. How do you know that, Brother Don? Verse 14 kind of tells us. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh simply means the Lord will provide. When you live by faith, when you walk by faith, when you live your life by faith, you might not ever understand everything that takes place, but when we live our lives by faith, God will provide. And you see it right there. God alone is the all-time promise keeper. He's also the all-time ultimate provider. We just got to trust Him. We trust us. We trust our bank account. We trust our wages. We trust our retirement. We trust our job. We trust our hands. We trust our energy. We trust our health. We trust our ability. And there's nothing wrong with some of that. He laid it all. And he, God, provided a substitute for Isaac. And he alone provided a substitute for every sinner. Because he offered his son, the Lamb of God, to die on a hill called Mount Moriah, here in Scripture, which is the same as Mount Calvary. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, went, hold it, hold it. But when Jesus was dying, God didn't come up the other side of that mountain or have that day and offer a sacrifice, a substitute for Jesus, his son, because there was no substitute for his son. He was the substitute. He was the only substitute. So God offered it for Abraham. God offered it for you and I. But there was no one for God to offer it for. His son paid the ultimate. Friends, I'm here to tell you God loves you. I'm here to tell you that he loved you so much he gave his son Jesus, who died for you and died for me. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming again. I'm going to ask you a point blank question. Are you saved? That's the question you have to answer. Have you accepted that substitute
in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and died in your place, and you ask Him into your life to forgive you of your sins. The Lord don't want us to sacrifice our children. The Lord don't want us to die for you. This is what the Lord wants. You ready? The Lord just wants us to live for Him. Just live for Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What a story of faith. What a story of Abraham. What a story of God. What a wonderful story in Genesis. You saved today. You live for Him today. You're a man, a woman, a young person of faith. You need faith. I need faith. You're going through some testings in life. We all go through them. We go through them to learn and grow and mature. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Abraham, Isaac. We thank You, Lord, for Your provision for them. We pray, Father, Holy Spirit, You speak in hearts. You do the only You can do. And Father, for that, we'll thank Him, we'll be okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room is going to lead us. Invitation, you can join along. If we can help you, we're here to pray with you.
Talk to you. Jesus is coming. Going me home. Going me home. Going me home. Light up the sunshine of one beautiful moon. Farther and farther away. Only today. Only today. Jesus is coming. He's coming today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today. Today, Jesus is calling me, calling today.